Good morning. To practice first century Christianity in the 21st century seems like a mission impossible to many people today. Some have doubts that the ancient practices of Christians can be repeated in modern times. Others question whether we should even try, as if it wasn't important. The New Testament writings that record the beginnings and history of the church, the Book of Acts, and the beliefs and teachings of the church are often belittled as out of date and too archaic to apply to the people of the 21st century. The attitudes described above explain, at least in part, the reason why there are so many different churches and denominations with different beliefs and practices today. When people do not follow the original pattern or example of Christianity as revealed in the New Testament, division and a multitude of religious groups inevitably follows. When people doubt the original blueprint, the New Testament, and put their confidence instead in man-made creeds, traditions, and the wisdom of men, something other than genuine Christianity will be established. Paul warns, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Colossians 2, verse 8. Let us all be encouraged to know from the Word of God that first century Christianity can be practiced in the 21st century. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25 should remove all skepticism. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord abides forever. The Scriptures are timeless, applying to every generation. Rather than a dead or stale document, the Scriptures are just as living and powerful today as they were in the first century, and thus very relevant to our modern age. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Scriptures still have value today of helping the man of God to be perfect or complete spiritually in every way. Paul says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. The best and only way to know how people became Christians in the first century is to study the New Testament. Belief in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, was the first essential step, Acts 16:31. Next, people were required to repent or turn away from their past sins, Acts 2:38 and Acts 3:19. And they were to confess their faith in Jesus, Acts 8:37 and Romans 10:9-10. Finally, people were then ready to become Christians by being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27 and Acts 2:38. Baptism clearly requires an immersion in water. For centuries, immersion has been viewed as a radical, disgraceful, and improper practice that goes against the tradition of sprinkling. An immersion in water may seem strange to people in modern times. However, immersion, or baptism, is the only way to be buried with Christ, Romans 6 and 4. Colossians 2 and verse 12 says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and as a result gained forgiveness of sins and salvation." Acts 2:38. Ananias told Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. Once a person is baptized into Christ, they are now part of the Lord's church. Acts 2, verse 38, verse 41, and verse 47. Christians, according to the New Testament, organize into collective, local bodies of Christians or churches of Christ. Romans 16:16. Each local church was to have a plurality of elders, not just one. Acts 14:23 and Titus 1:5, who provided oversight and leadership. In Acts 20:28, Paul, addressing the Ephesian elders, said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The rule of elders, also called pastors or bishops, Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Timothy 3:1, was limited only to a specific local church they were a part of. Also, each local church was to have deacons who served the church, Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:8-13. Evangelists, otherwise called preachers or ministers, simply preach God's word, Ephesians 4:11, 2 Timothy 4:2 and verse 5. Each and every member was to contribute their talents in the work of the Lord, Romans 12:4-8. The organization of local churches in the first century was very simple compared to the often complicated structure and dangerous arrangements that men devise today. Compare the New Testament pattern with, for example, the system of Catholicism in which there is only one pastor or priest that rules over a local church. These priests are then subject to a higher office called a bishop, who is in charge of many local churches. The bishop then submit to just one man called the Pope. Protestant denominations also deviate from the New Testament plan by having only one pastor, which is usually the preacher, over a local church. Each local church submits to the decisions and decrees made by the leadership of the denomination. These man-made organizations and positions of leadership, the church associations, general conferences, councils, church presidents, and so forth, take away the church autonomy and independence. This deviation from the New Testament scriptures has led to widespread error in churches and an abuse of power and authority. If only people would follow the New Testament model for the church, then every local church will be set up the way the Lord intended, thus bringing glory to God and not to men. The work of the church in the first century was also much more simple than what typically takes place in modern times. The three major works of the local church were, 1, evangelism, or teaching the lost, Matthew 28:18-20 and Philippians 4:15-18. 2, it was edification, or building up of one another through the word of God, Acts 20:32 and Ephesians 4:16. 3, benevolence toward the needy, Acts 4:32-35 and Galatians 6:10. In contrast, men today want to add to the work of the church and broaden its mission. Many churches today are engaged in all kinds of works that God did not assign, such as a ministry of recreation. Such works were not the work of the church in the first century. By keeping the work of the church simple, in conformity to the New Testament scriptures, we not only please God, but we eliminate works that distract us, allowing us to remain focused on the spiritual, on what is important for us to do as a congregation. The worship of the church in the first century was also very simple and thus entirely possible for us to repeat today. Since Christians are commanded to assemble themselves together for worship, Hebrews 10:24-25, there must of necessity be an adequate place for worship. Contrary to popular belief, a church does not have to meet in an official church building or some kind of fancy cathedral with stained glass windows. A church may assemble for worship in a variety of places, provided it is lawful and expedient, 1 Corinthians 6:12. In the first century and even the second, it was common for local churches to meet together for worship in private residences or members' homes. For example, the New Testament records the early Christians assembling in the homes of Priscilla and Aquila, Romans 16:3-5. Also in the home of Gaius, Romans 16:23, and the number could go on. Christians in the first century assembled together on the first day of the week to engage in five major acts of worship: hearing the doctrine of the apostles, Christ, through preaching, Acts 2:42, partaking of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20:7, and prayer, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19, and giving of their means toward the work of the Lord, a spiritual sacrifice, 1 Corinthians 16:1-12, Hebrews 13:15-16. They did not burn incense, light decorated lampstands, nor use mechanical instruments. Such practices passed away with the Old Law or Old Testament, Colossians 2:13-16 and Hebrews 8:6-13. Some churches try to improve worship by providing entertainment such as concerts, bands, theater, and the like. Yet to please the Lord, only worship that is according to the New Testament pattern or the truth will do. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spiritual simplicity of worship during the first century can most definitely be practiced today. To simply be Christians, in character, in conduct, in everything we do, we must be willing to go back to the first century, to the original pattern of Christianity as found in the New Testament scriptures. Our aim should be to please the Lord as well as honor Him by respecting His authority. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Colossians 3:17. To be genuine Christians, let us demonstrate our faith in Christ and our love for Him by doing what He says as recorded in the Scriptures. Let us prove ourselves to be real Christians indeed, living in the 21st century. If there's any way we can help you, if there's anything you need, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.